Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you're a God who speaks, and as we look at this part of your word this morning, such riches on offer for us to shape us. Father, would you speak? Father, have mercy on us. Open the eyes of our hearts to the truth of your word by your Spirit, that we might not leave here unchanged, but we might know your Son Jesus Christ, and that we might be found in him, rescued from sin and death. And Father, more than that, that we might lift our eyes off of here and now and onto that glorious inheritance. For your glory we pray. Amen. Well, who do you think you are? That's the big question that our series has been asking in the book of Ephesians. What defines you? What makes you you? Where is your identity found? Who do you think you are? But we've seen actually that that's the wrong question to ask. Well, it's not the wrong question, but it's not quite the most profound and deepest question. The best question to ask is, who does God say I am? And so over the last few weeks, we've been exploring that. Who does God say we are? More than that, what has God done for us that would shape who we are right now? And we've seen over the last few weeks, as we've been unpacking this amazing part of the Bible in Ephesians chapter 1, that God has answered the identity question in a way that frees us from worrying about who we are, from striving, from if my life falls apart, then who am I? And we've seen that God has given us everything we need to know who we are. We started the series and we saw that understanding what you have always changes who you are. And if you were with us at the beginning, I showed you this lady. Her name is Thelma Howard, and she was Walt Disney's, there he is, Walt Disney's maid for 30 years. And every year, Walt, as I told you when we started the series, would give Thelma Howard these pieces of paper, shares in the Disney Corporation. And when she died, they looked in her drawer in her bedroom and they found them all, just stacked up. 192,000 shares valued at $9 million. Did some research, worked out that that's around $120 million today. That's just kind of inflation, if she was wise and invested, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, $120 million. Understanding what you have always changes who you are. And so over the last few weeks, we've been unpacking these riches. Paul has been showing us the amazing riches that we have as Christians. He's been pulling them out of the drawer and showing us, because we don't want to do a Thelma Howard. We don't want to leave the riches there thinking, I kind of know that there's some value in them, but I don't know how valuable they actually are. And the big summary of this whole section has been this, Ephesians 1 verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. God is the blessed one, and he shares all the blessings with us. Not a few blessings, not a lot of blessings. Every spiritual blessing that's reserved for heaven is given now to Christians. And he's been fleshing that out. And he's been saying there is no more blessings that you as a Christian can receive that you haven't already received. You've got absolutely everything. So over the last few weeks, we've been pulling out these riches out of the drawer, unpacking them, enjoying them, allowing them to change who we are. And the hope is that our identity in Jesus has become more secure, more understanding these amazing riches that God has given us. Here's the list. If you're not a Christian, have a look at the spiritual riches that you could have. If you are a Christian, have a look at the spiritual riches you already have. We are chosen eternally in Jesus to be holy and blameless. We are adopted as God's children. We are redeemed through Jesus' death, forgiven of all our sins, enlightened to God's purpose and plan. We are heirs of an eternal inheritance and guaranteed that eternal future and sealed with the Holy Spirit. So, we're on the final two of this little mini-series within the series. Ephesians is going to flesh out all of these as we go through it, but we've just got two riches to go, and there's one big point about them. Here's the two riches. We are heirs of an eternal inheritance. We are guaranteed of that inheritance by the Holy Spirit. And if you add all that up, that means our identity is future-proof in Jesus Christ. Don't know if you know the idea of future-proofing. It sounded like a good idea, so I did some research. Future-proofing is the process, apparently, of anticipating the future and developing methods, this is how it's defined, of minimizing the effects and shocks of stresses of those future events on you now. Future-proofing the future. Sounded really good, so I had a look and I discovered that there are 1,000 books currently on sale right now that claim to future-proof your life. Easy Google search, anyone can do it. Some of the books claim to future-proof your whole life. Some of them just take a certain area. So you can future-proof your career, you can future-proof your business. There was a book called How to Future-Proof Your Finances. There was one, How to Future-Proof Your Children. Good read. You can even future-proof your farm. Any farmers out there? Future-proof it. One of the books that really caught my eye was this one, The Future Book, 50 Ways to Future-Proof Your Work and Life by Magnus Lindqvist. Something like that. Here's the publisher's summary of the book. The future plays a dominant role in everybody's life. For many, it's a blur, a mystery, a wall of fog in which we struggle to see beyond what is immediately in front of us. By leading futurist Magnus Lindqvist, this book provides the means and tools to plan for and navigate a path into the long term for your advantage. Anyone who wants to have a better, more inspiring life in the future has to plan for it to future-proof it. In this powerful little book, Lindqvist presents a set of practical and easy-to-apply tools that'll help you create a mindset and a path for your future. Sounds fantastic, doesn't it? Just got to buy the book. See the problem with all these books? One big problem. Their future is too small. God this morning wants to show you that your life, your identity, can be future-proofed for all eternity, and how that makes such a difference right now. Two things about our identity. Firstly, we are heirs of an eternal inheritance. Let's have a look. Verses 11 and 12. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things, according to the counsel of his will, so that we who are the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. We are heirs of an eternal inheritance. When I was 9 years old, my mum married my stepdad. My birth father had died when I was very little. Started out without a dad. But when mum married my stepdad, who I just call dad now, it was life-changing. What happened at that moment when they got married, I didn't just become a son to a father, but I actually became my father's heir. He took me aside and said, "This is all yours now. What I have is yours." He received me into his family as his son and gave me the full rights as an heir, as if I was his very own child. And that is what's going on right here. Paul has said we are adopted as his children, and that doesn't just mean you're in God's family. It means you're heirs. We are heirs. We get it all. See how it works. Starts with two little crucial words, doesn't it? In him. And we know by now that's shorthand for being united to Christ by faith, super glued to him. In Jesus, we have what? Obtained. Obtained means allotted a portion, given, bequeathed, bestowed. If you're a Christian, you have obtained what? An inheritance. You are an heir of God himself. To be an heir is to have all the rights as a son or a daughter. Everything the Father has is now yours. And here's the ridiculously amazing thing about being a Christian. The God who made everything makes you his heir. Is that not amazing? It's important to see this isn't just given to us. This is who we are. This is a status before God. He now looks down and doesn't see a rebellious sinner. He doesn't even see someone walking through life trying to make meaning of it. What's going on? God looks at you and says, heir, my heir, my heir, you're my heir. The full rights of entitlement. And we know he's talking about an eternal inheritance. Did you see it? Because he tells us, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. This is an eternal thing. The spiritual blessing that comes to Christians is because they are eternally destined to receive it. Here we are predestined to be heirs of God. In verse 5, a few weeks ago, we were predestined to be adopted as his children. And we said it then, and I'll say it now. This is not talking about why God chooses some and why he doesn't choose some. This is addressing Christians. So if you're a Christian, listen. This is to show that God has loved you eternally. He didn't just choose you to be one of his children. He chose you to be an heir. This is talking to Christians to show how blessed we actually are. Paul makes that clear in verse 5. He says, according to the good pleasure of his will. And here, it's a similar idea, according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. That means his good plan for you. You see, the words pile up on each other, don't they? There's purpose, according to the counsel, will. That it's trying to show that God has meticulously planned out in his sovereign grace to make you an heir. If you are a Christian, God carefully planned it before he did it. It wasn't last minute decision. God didn't look down and go, Matt, bit of a bogan, gonna come good, I'll choose him. No. He planned it completely by his sovereign grace. Nothing to do with Matt and his decision making. We are heirs of an eternal inheritance. The point of this is so that you can feel the security, the assurance, the future proof. Something important to notice here as well in verse 12, the we. At first glance, we think, that's talking about all of us. But actually, it's talking about Paul and the Jewish believers. Paul moves on from that. He says that we, that is Paul and the Jewish believers, were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. And then he goes to you, that's us, Gentiles, all the rest of us. In him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him. And then he goes to our, do you see? Moves from we to you to our. And it's important to see that progression because it explains how we actually get this inheritance and what it is. The first Jewish believers were first to do what? To hope in Christ and be what? To the praise of his glory. So the inheritance they obtained, which was always God's plan, that inheritance is a hope that results in the praise of God's glory. That's what they received. Now verse 13 explains what that hope actually is. In him you also, that is the hope, is the same thing as what I'm going to explain right now. When you heard the word of truth and believed, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of your inheritance. So the hope that results in the praise of God's glory, the guarantee of the inheritance, is the Holy Spirit. Now we're getting closer to understanding what this means for us, aren't we? How does this make a difference to my identity? Remember, we don't want to do a Thelma Howard. We don't want to leave the riches in the drawer. We're pulling them out. They're riches. Let's explore them. Let's unpack them. Let's keep going. We are heirs of an eternal inheritance. Secondly, we are guaranteed that inheritance by the Holy Spirit. Paul tells us four things about the work of the Spirit. Did you see them? There's the first one here is, you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed. What does that mean? I once received a letter that was sealed. Don't know if you've ever received a letter that was sealed. It was an important letter. It had a bit of wax on it. It was really annoying to open up. But I knew that no one had messed with that letter. It was sealed. It's a bit old school. It doesn't really happen much today. But in those days, when they sealed something, it guaranteed the quality, the authenticity, the ownership of a legal document. They sealed the deal. That's where it comes from. Stamped it, authenticated it, kept it secure, unable to be tampered with. Here in Ephesians, Paul says, you are sealed. You Christians have been stamped with a seal which secures you, which is a forward-looking seal. In chapter 4, he uses the same word again and says the Holy Spirit is the seal on believers for the day of redemption. Here, chapter 1 says we're sealed now for a future reality until we acquire possession of it. It's a forward-looking seal. It's sealing you for the future. So here's what this means. If you become a Christian, that moment you receive the Holy Spirit in full. And at that moment, you are sealed to protect you, to keep you secure, unable to be messed with for the day that you will see him face to face. Can you feel the assurance, the future proofing that God is doing in us? We're sealed. But more than that, the Spirit is also a down payment, sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance. That word means literally down payment. It's when you put a deposit on a car, you lock it in. And that's my car now. I've paid the down payment. That is what happens with the Holy Spirit. It's the guarantee that you'll get it all in the end. But think about this for a second. If the Holy Spirit is the down payment, then you're not just getting a little bit of God's riches, are you? You're not even getting just a part of God. You're getting all of God himself. Nothing less than God with you. You're doubly future-proofed, sealed, guaranteed. Number three, believers receive the Holy Spirit in Christ. Very important to see the Spirit and Christ always work together. See here, in him you also heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him. In him, again and again. Very important to see the Holy Spirit and Jesus always work together. Here's what this means. God's people, Christians, experience the Holy Spirit, the end time Spirit, the seal of security, the down payment of a future locked in, only through union with Jesus Christ, through his gospel, by faith. Did you hear that? We only receive the Holy Spirit, the down payment, the guarantee, through union with Jesus Christ, through his gospel, by faith. Three things, we'll go to four. We're sealed, guaranteed, it is in him, and lastly, it is the promised Holy Spirit, God's fulfillment in us. All through the Old Testament, God's people are waiting. I read it this morning, I was reading my Bible, came to Joel, and there's a promise there that God will pour out his Spirit, and that will be the last days, the restoration, the bringing in of the end times, the restoration of God's people. Back then, the Spirit came, the Spirit left. The Spirit came, the Spirit left. Now, the Spirit comes in full. Paul's saying that fulfillment has happened in Christ, in you, right now. God's seal on us, God's down payment for us. In Christ, the Spirit comes to us. He's the promised Spirit fulfillment in us. Add that all up, what do you get? You can't get any more future proof than that. You could read 50 Ways to Future Proof Your Life by Magnus What's-His-Nose. And you could future proof your 60, 70, maybe a little less for some of us here. Or you could come to Jesus Christ and be future-proofed for all eternity. We are heirs of an eternal inheritance, guaranteed that inheritance by nothing less than God in you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. No one can take him away from you. And did you notice how all this ends? Guaranteed of our inheritance until what? We acquire possession of it. That word acquire possession. It actually has that idea of final redemption. We looked at redemption last week, God paying the price for our sins. It's a done deal, but it will be completed on that day when you receive your inheritance. The ultimate future-proofing, safeguarded from the final redemption, secured from the wrath of God through Jesus Christ. And all this is to the praise of His glory, which is a bookend, isn't it, for this little section. We started with the praise of God's glory. We finished with the praise of God's glory. We are heirs of an eternal inheritance. We are guaranteed that inheritance by the Holy Spirit. Don't know if you've ever received an actual inheritance. My grandma died when about 15 years ago, and Kinney and I got a small inheritance. I remember waiting for the lawyer to put the money in our account because we really needed a car, and unfortunately couldn't afford a Land Cruiser with that inheritance. We got something practical, which means small and boring. But as I was waiting for that inheritance to come, I remember getting excited because I knew how much it was, and I knew it was definitely coming. Grandma had definitely died. If you know your inheritance is coming, and if you know what that inheritance actually is, that will always change who you are. God has said to us, we've obtained it. We were always destined to receive it. We're sealed by the Spirit as a guarantee, a down payment for it, until we acquire it. So what actually is it? And how does it affect me? We could go to heaps of places in the Bible to explain this. The best summary I've found is Ezekiel. This is talking to the priests in the Old Testament, and you know in the New Testament, God calls all Christians a priesthood, a royal priesthood. And this is what it says. This shall be their inheritance. I am their inheritance. You shall give them no possession in Israel. I am their possession. Nothing less than God Himself. On that day when the Holy Spirit, the down payment, the guarantee is no longer a softly felt experience. No, I don't really feel it. When you see Him face to face, when faith becomes sight, when our sin is gone, when our joy is full, when our pleasures are forever, when you receive your inheritance in full, you get God. In case you don't think that's a big deal, here's my favourite psalm. Psalm 16 explains what it means when you stand in the presence of God. In your presence, in God's presence, there is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Everything you long for, everything you enjoy little snippets of right now, but you wish you had more of it. The little joys that pull your heart for more, the inner fleeting pleasures that draw your inner being to desire more and more and more of. The desires of your heart are all met in the presence of God. When you stand in His presence and you experience fullness of joy and pleasures that never end. He is our inheritance. We're heirs of it. We're guaranteed it. So how does that affect us right now? We're going to walk out these doors and be bombarded with all sorts of voices that tell us who you are. When you don't feel like this changes anything, two things. One, go to the cross again to guarantee your identity. We know where God guarantees our future identity, our identity in Christ, isn't it? What's the way God provides the Holy Spirit? God seals you It's only in him. And how do you get in him? It's the cross. When Jesus dies, God makes you what you are not. Heirs. His children. When Jesus dies, God takes from you what you cannot. All your sin. When Jesus dies, God gives you your true identity. Christian. So, hear the word of truth again. Hear the gospel of your salvation again. Believe in Jesus again. Go to the cross again when you feel like your identity isn't guaranteed. When you feel like you're not secure in Christ, then you're probably not enjoying the cross enough. Go to the cross. Two, look to the future to persevere now. Whatever's going on, whatever you're going through, whatever problems, struggles, temptations, whatever's driving you to despair, when life looks like it's too hard, look to your eternal inheritance. Tell yourself the truth. I am future-proofed in Christ. I am a child of God. I am an heir. I am guaranteed. You see, we're going to forget. We're going to get distracted. We won't always feel like our identity is in Christ. But if I know for certain I will receive my eternal inheritance, if I know for certain that I'll be in the presence of God, then I can deal with anything now. Anything. Look to the future to persevere now. Look to the day when that Holy Spirit in you, the down payment, the guarantee, that thing you have now but you can't feel much of, becomes God face to face with you. When your faith becomes sight, when your sin is completely gone, when your joy becomes totally full, when your pleasures go on forever, when you are, Psalm 16:11, in God's presence with fullness of joy and pleasures forever. Look to the future to persevere. Now we're heirs of an eternal inheritance. We're guaranteed that inheritance by the Holy Spirit. Our identity is future-proof in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for such rock-solid hope. Father, we are heirs. If we are in Christ, we are heirs of an eternal inheritance. We are guaranteed that inheritance by the Holy Spirit in us. And so we thank you that our identity is future-proof. You will not leave us. You will not forsake us. No one can take it from us. As we go into this world, would you help us, Father, to lift our eyes off ourselves and onto Jesus Christ, knowing that your Spirit in us is the guarantee of our future. We thank you for such security and assurance in Jesus Christ. Amen.